Picture a child's face lighting up at the mention of Santa Claus. Now imagine that same child recoiling in fear at the image of a bearded stranger breaking into homes through chimneys. This is the disorienting reality of living between cultures, where the most innocent references can trigger completely different emotions. Firoze Dumas navigated this bewildering landscape when her memoir faced translation into Persian, confronting a challenge far more complex than converting words from one language to another. Iran's position outside international copyright laws meant anyone could translate her work without consultation, creating not just anxiety about quality, but genuine fear of embarrassing her extended family back home. The stakes were high. Humor, with its delicate cultural nuances, is notoriously difficult to translate. What makes one culture laugh can leave another utterly confused, and Dumas's entire literary voice depended on getting this right. Working with translator Mohamed Soleimani Nia became cultural archaeology. Va 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 boom, that playful expression of romantic attraction, was initially rendered as literal explosions, missing the flirtatious undertone entirely. References to Santa Claus required delicate handling in a culture where a bearded fellow entering homes might evoke fear rather than Christmas magic. Government censorship demanded three changes: removing a passage blaming God for someone's nose, eliminating reincarnation references, and excising an entire chapter about shared humanity across religions, ironically, the book's heart. Despite this, the translated work, The Scent of Hyacinths, The Scent of Pine, resonated powerfully. 30,000 copies sold in the first year, winning a Reader's Choice Award. The editor's message struck deepest. Young readers appreciated the balanced portrayal of different nationalities, avoiding cultural superiority. His poignant request, "Please tell Americans we don't hate them," revealed how humor had built bridges between nations often portrayed as adversaries. At six, Dumas mourned losing their garden, where she'd watched ants haul impossibly large crumbs and butterflies settle on her mother's roses. Tehran's relentless streets, with their endless car horns, offered no respite. Her world shrank from wandering freely among flowering bushes to a cramped third-floor apartment with one small balcony overlooking chaos. Boredom drove her to eavesdrop on their shared phone line and watch real-life dramas unfold at the police station across the street. Then came the monkey. Wearing a tiny red vest and golden cap, he climbed the drainpipe from a local organ grinder and landed on their railing. For three glorious hours, he mimicked her movements, shared her snack, created perfect connection. Despite her desperate pleas, her father gently showed her the organ grinder searching below. His livelihood depended on his performing partner. The monkey was lured down with dates and nuts, leaving her wondering if he remembered their magical friendship as vividly as she would for decades. That concrete rectangle became a theater box, listening post, and setting for an enchanted afternoon, proving even the smallest spaces can host our biggest adventures. Mrs. Sandberg's colorful American classroom bewildered young Dumas. Unlike stern Iranian teachers who commanded through fear, she maintained control through gentle conversations and circle discussions, revolutionary to a child raised under rigid authority. Iran's rigorous 20-point grading scale made top scores legendary. Teachers were formal authority figures in austere classrooms, yet this system produced remarkable results through meticulous penmanship, principled mathematics, and thorough science. Cultural education centered on Persian literary giants. Ferdowsi's Shahnameh preserving language, Hafez's Ghazals consulted like horoscopes, Saadi's wisdom about human interconnectedness. The prestigious All-Boys School exemplified this excellence, where poor but brilliant students studied alongside the wealthy, producing numerous scientists and leaders. Iranian immigrants consistently achieve high educational success globally, testament to rigorous early schooling. While American pop culture portrays gifted students as outcasts, Iranian society celebrated academic excellence as the highest achievement. Mrs. Sandberg's nurturing approach proved that genuine teacher care transcends cultural boundaries. Dumas's father's bargain hunting led them to a furniture liquidation, driving separately in his two-toned Mulberry Buick and her bare-bones Chevette. They impulsively bought massive desks without considering how to transport them, loading furniture that protruded dangerously from their cars. A police officer stopped them, issuing tickets and prohibiting them from continuing. She had to find a neighbor's van for rescue. At home, the furniture was too large for their staircase, but her father forced it upstairs anyway, damaging the walls. Her room became a desk with a bed attached. Years later, they couldn't give the furniture away. Even gardeners refused it free. They paid a handyman $100 to remove it, far exceeding its original worth. Her father now romanticizes the story as father-daughter bonding, turning up the TV when reminded of the actual expense. This episode captures the immigrant experience, the desire to seize opportunities, determination to make things work against all odds, and the ability to transform mishaps into cherished family stories. Most immigrants feel like permanent foreigners, belonging nowhere. This liminal existence shaped Dumas into an adaptable navigator of social situations, skills that would prove invaluable. College social life disappointed her. While peers embraced typical undergraduate living, she craved early mornings with coffee and books, meaningful conversations about politics and philosophy. She tried church socials, running clubs, even football spirit groups, despite knowing nothing about the sport. Nothing clicked. The turning point came at Berkeley's International House, where half the residents were foreign students. With its 9-to-1 male-to-female ratio, her dating prospects suddenly improved. She met students from Japan, the Middle East, and Europe, all navigating life between cultures. Here, she encountered Francois, a French doctoral student she initially dismissed after an awkward Proust conversation. Guilt prompted a coffee invitation. That conversation stretched from 4 p.m. to midnight as they discovered shared perspectives on family expectations and academic life abroad. A linguistic misunderstanding nearly derailed everything. She thought he'd made an inappropriate comment when he'd actually called her quite a jester. Their first kiss followed. Sometimes we find belonging not by fitting perfectly into one culture, but by creating shared space between worlds. A hybrid territory where differences become strengths and misunderstandings transform into intimate jokes. In a world demanding we choose sides, Dumas offers a different path, one paved with laughter and embracing contradiction. She's grateful her daughter doesn't face mandatory hijab like women in present-day Iran, yet her Iranian sister-in-law, who wore hijab her entire life, remains one of the most independent women she knows, proving coverings don't determine submission. Freedom, she realizes, is like a rope. Some make ladders to climb out of boxes, some make nooses, others make stripper poles. She hopes her daughters use that rope to climb wherever they wish, then hold it for others. At a college graduation, watching names called, many minorities, none wealthy, she felt hopeful as dreams were fulfilled. Her father, in the audience, likely thought of his sister Sadija, denied education at 14. Each graduate carries forward unrealized dreams of those who came before. This is the immigrant experience's most profound legacy, freedom to choose one's path and pass these values forward. In a world demanding we choose between cultures, Dumas reminds us the richest life might be found in the space between, where misunderstandings become love stories, where humor builds bridges. Laugh without an accent, live without apology.